Hey, what's up, folks, and welcome to The Bosses. That's where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek movies, news, and culture. I'm your host for today, The Big Boss, and I'm joined with my amigo, The Professor. What's up, bro?
What's happening, brother? What's going on?
Nothing much. Living life, another day in paradise. You know how it
That's
is.
That's right. Living that dream, brother. Living that dream as they always told us, right?
Yeah, buddy. So we got a couple things in geek news for you guys that we are going to rattle off and give you our opinion on. So let's dive in. We got the weekend box office right here. Top three, number one. Surprisingly, The Meg coming out at number one. We're $45.4 million on day one, and Mission Impossible close with 19.3, and then Christopher Robin rounding out the top three with 12.9. Man, so what are your thoughts, Professor?
I can't really, people. The Meg was the movie you all wanted to see. I realized it was brand new. But come on, how bad did that movie look?
I mean,
and I love Jason Statham. I always have. But everything he's in pretty much is bad. Like, just about everything the man is in is just not good movies. You know that going in. That's why you enjoy stuff like, what was the one where he gets his heart taken out and he has to stop
his heart?
Crank. I mean, it got two movies, for God's sake, cranked it.
Yeah.
The first Transporter, fun action movie. The second Transporter, not necessary.
Then they rebooted it.
But then they did a third Transporter with him, I think.
They did
a third one with him as well. Like, they rebooted it, and that bombed terribly, so then they brought him back to do a third one, and that was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, so when you see Jason Statham, you know you're not going to a good movie. But what kills me is, this is probably because of that stupid Sharknado that people want to go see this movie so badly.
Yep.
And it just, I mean, I can only imagine what was in this movie. And it kills me to know that I probably could have written it just as well. And somebody's making millions of dollars because people want to go see this stupid movie.
Oh, man. Yo. It never ceases to amaze me.
It hurts my heart.
Oh, this is crazy. I mean, the budget for this film was $130 million. So, I mean, internationally, this thing is going to clean up.
I'm sure. Yeah.
This thing is going to clean up. And we pretty much now know what the plot line for the next Sharknado is going to be.
Basically, it's going to be Mega Sharknado or Meg Sharknado. Oh, my God. At least Ant-Man and the Wasp are still hanging in there at number 10.
Yeah. Ant-Man and the Wasp still up there. We got Equalizer 2 still up there. I just still need to see that. Black Klansman came out number 5, which is
pretty, all their money back too.
Yeah. Pretty much killing it out right out the gate for an indie film. Like, I mean, you know what? It's hard. You're hard pressed to find like a good indie film nowadays. So it's nice to know that the genre is still kicking and thriving and still able to bring in a steady amount of money. I still got to go check it out myself. I'll probably go see it tomorrow or something. But I'm interested. I can't believe that the guy that's starring in this movie is the son of Denzel Washington. I think he's been playing it so low key.
I had no idea until you said something last week.
That was crazy, man. So, got to check that out. Slender Man, you're not going to catch me near it, but, you know, it's horror film, so.
Hey, made its money back, looks like.
So. I'm telling you, yeah. I mean, you know, horror films are definitely a nice, steady paycheck. They always kill at the box office, depending on what it is and who's in it. So, I'm sure Slender Man is going to keep bringing in some money this next weekend, but, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Meg drop off completely.
I wouldn't either. I think that's one of those where the novelty will run off after one weekend already.
Yeah.
You know, so I wouldn't be surprised to see maybe Mission Impossible or Christopher Robin kick up to number one next week.
Yeah. All right, so let's dump into some geek news of the week. Got a couple items for you guys, and we'll tell you what we think. So let's start it off. We got some TV, Netflix, and Hulu news. Big news for you anime fans out there. I know I am one. One Punch Man Season 2 dropped this last Sunday, episode one, the man that can kill everything with one punch.
It sounds like the dumbest premise.
I'm not going to hold you guys. Like, when I first heard about this premise, I thought there's no way that this show can last like more than 5 episodes. And I was being very generous. And so I was like, you know what? It's not going to do it. And then I went and I checked out the episodes, and it holds, dude. This guy can't be beat, but it holds. Like, the series holds. And it's like, it's really like, when you look at this anime, you're not looking at it for the intense action. Although the action is pretty dramatic, and the art is wild. It's ridiculous. Especially when you're getting down to like the final couple of episodes. But the comedy is top notch. That's what you watch the show for. Just the ridiculousness of it. So, yeah, if you're looking for some new anime that you just want to laugh with, yeah, One Punch Man is definitely the way to go.
I might have to end up checking it out.
Yeah, just check out episode one. I tell everybody, just check out the pilot. Just check out the pilot, man. If you want to go, then just go with it. But if not, at least you saw one, and you can say that you can be a part of the conversation. Oh, man. All right, so what else we got here? Oh, good news in Star Trek world. We got the Klingons having a completely new look in season 2. That is awesome news, because I was always worried about that. I mean, I wasn't really worried about it, but I was excited to see this new take on the Klingons with Discovery. But I know the nature of Klingon, I guess, genetic makeup. They evolve quite rapidly. Okay. So I was interested in seeing, okay, are they going to evolve in this series or not? Or is this going to be the Klingons that we normally deal with? So if they are evolving, we know that season 2, there's going to be a time jump. Not a drastic time jump, but enough for the Klingons to change their whole visage. So, yeah, that'll be cool going into season 2, especially off of that news that Patrick Stewart's coming to reprise his role of Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Now, is he coming back as a full-time cast member, or just like cameo stuff?
He's not going to be on Star Trek Discovery. He's actually going to be starring in his own Star Trek spinoff. Yeah, so we getting the man back.
Full-time character. I got you.
Yeah, so, you know, y'all got to get on, because Picard was a smooth captain, man. It's like out of all the captains, my favorites are definitely Sisko, Benjamin Sisko, and Jean-Luc Picard. They are my favorite captains in the entire series. And this is like, even you're talking about original Kirk and new Kirk, like those two are still my top. They're still my favorite captains.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah,
I've never watched a minute of it, so I couldn't tell you. But I mean, I know, obviously, I know who Patrick Stewart is, and I know what he looks like as Picard, and I see all the memes and everything, but I've never been a Trek guy, so.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's a good show. It's not as fast-paced as you would expect your sci-fi shows to be, but it's an intense exploration drama, so it's always fun. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, so what do we got here? We got Disney CEO coming out saying that the Fox acquisition creates an opportunity for more Marvel content on their streaming service. This is not surprising at all.
Yeah, another news, the sky is blue. I mean, no duh, right?
Right. It's like, so we got some more money to make, and we're going to make more of the money.
That's right. So we've got all this stuff back now. Now we're actually going to use it to do stuff with. So it makes you wonder if maybe we're not going to get a Fantastic Four or X-Men movie, but we might get a TV show instead on the streaming service. Yeah. I would kind of almost hate to see that if that's what it's only going to be. I could see maybe them doing a New Mutants TV show, mm-hmm. and leaving the X-Men for the movies. But, you know, we obviously won't know until this whole thing is, you know, said and done, which isn't going to be to what, July next year, roughly?
Yeah.
But they've already, you know, Kevin Feige, I think, has already said in association with the stuff, like, we've already got plans. Like, we're already looking at what the stories are going to be and where we can put these things into play. So, you know, they're already looking at all of the Fox content and what they can do with it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm just like, my worry is that, you know, we'll get an X-Men show, but then again, I'm like, for the amount of characters in this ensemble, maybe that's the route that you may want to go. I mean, maybe the main cast will be featured on the films, but then we'll get like side characters that we don't get to see a lot that we do want to see. And we'll get them on the series in their own kind of like character exploration type driven stories.
That's why I wonder if it would be more of a New Mutants type driven thing as far as the TV show goes, you know, because that you can kind of do that. Some of the secondary characters, and every once in a while you could bring the big characters in to kind of, you know, mentor them or whatever you're going to have them do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I think maybe it's New Mutants is probably more suited for a streaming, but for a TV show. Like, I think with the big name characters, the Wolverines, the Cyclops, the Storms, you kind of need to have them in a movie. I think moving them to a small screen kind of takes away a little bit from them. So I would imagine that for a TV show, they'll probably do more of a New Mutants kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Or maybe an Excalibur kind of thing. That'd be kind of cool too.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if Sony would just stop screwing around and give that stuff back to Marvel full time too, we'd be better off.
Oh, man. You know, I wrestle with that because, as we'll talk about later in the show, I think Disney is growing into the monster that we knew it was going to be. And, man, I just...
kind of okay with some of it as long as I get the content that I want.
Yeah, yo, this is really what it is. This is like, we are willing to pay this cost right now because we are finally getting all the characters that we grew up with on screen the right way.
If I get a proper Doctor Doom sometime in the next 3 years, they can do whatever they want, and I don't care. That's what I need to. I've said this a billion times. That is what I need to see. And it's finally going to happen at some point. But it needs to happen while I can still enjoy it. So hurry up already, Disney, and get this taken care of for me.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at Sony and I'm laughing because, you know, I make the comment because Venom hasn't even come out yet and they're already planning all these other spinoff movies. You know, the potentially Silver Sable and Black Cat are now going to have their own movies instead of a combo movie.
Yeah.
And they're talking about a Silk movie who most people don't even know who that is. You know, if you don't read the comics at all, Silk is a girl who was bitten by the same spider that bit Peter when she was little, so she's got spider powers. They're a little bit different than Peter's, but the two of them have like this hormonal thing when they get near each other. They always trying to kind of go at it, so to speak.
Oh, snap.
It's a weird kind of thing. It's an interesting character, but it hasn't been around long enough for its own movie. It doesn't make any sense to give this character its own movie now, so Sony's almost trying to go the DC route, and you think Marvel would be like, hey, knock that off. Pay attention.
Reel it in, guys.
We'll reel it in. We'll tell you what to do. Stick with us. We'll go just fine.
And what are they calling it? Sony's
Spider-verse
universe
or something like that,
of Marvel characters. That's what they're calling
That's what they're calling it. Yes, I've heard that.
God. Anybody's universe that's that long.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Come on, son.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like, what are y'all doing over there? Like, who is in the room making these decisions? Like, I really would love to be a fly on the wall. Just because they're doing the, Sony's doing the Black Men in Black reboot, aren't they? So,
not that it needs to be a reboot. Now, granted, it's going to have Chris Hemsworth, who does comedic roles and action roles well, obviously. So,
yeah, they're going to have Chris Hemsworth and Tessa Thompson in there. So,
oh, that's
Thor
right.
Ragnarok
that's right.
is basically going to be recreated on this one.
And you have to hope they make some kind of reference to it if they can.
But, yeah, yeah. Maybe we'll get a Tom Hiddleston cameo.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Oh, man. But yeah, like I just don't know. It's just, and this is the same company that wanted to do a crossover of 21 Jump Street and Men in Black. So,
oh my God, that's right.
I'm I'm just like, come on, guys. Why don't you just leave the storytelling on more capable hands? Just take the check.
Let's pop the brakes. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah, we'll find out. To keep it with going with the movies, let's talk about some other movie news that's out there. MoviePass is now limiting subscribers to picking two movies a day. Or two movies a month, I believe. Is it two movies a day or two movies a month?
I think a month would not be worth it, I don't think.
Oh, two movies a day. So basically what it is, it's three movies a month that you can pick, but on any day, you will only have access to two different movies. So they may not be blockbuster films. They may not be like opening weekend films, but they're just two films that you'll have access to that you can watch for free a day. And quite frankly, that's not what I paid for.
Yeah, so its current policy is a movie a day, but now you're just finding they only have two movies in which to choose from.
Yeah.
Far cry from any movie at any time tag of the company in times past. So not only are they only giving you one movie a day, but they're limiting you to whatever what movies they think you should be allowed to see.
Yeah.
This is good. They're going to go under.
Yeah.
And the people are going to start bailing out.
This is definitely the descent of MoviePass right here.
I mean, this makes sense. To put that into context, MoviePass lost about $85 million in June and May and was losing around $20 million a month in the months prior. So it makes sense why they would switch to this new model, but
yeah,
people are just going to jump if that's what's going to be. Because the other one we were talking about before,
yep,
for an extra $10, you can see whatever you want, whenever you want,
yep,
including IMAX features. So
now, what is it called? The AMC A-List or something like that?
Something like that. Yeah. And there's another one,
Cine something.
I forget exactly what it's called. But there's another one that's out there that's more similar to the AMC one. So it's like, not Cinemagic, but
I remember we were talking about it a couple months ago. Yeah, but it's just like what I'm starting to see is like, I mean, we knew this from day one, and we talked about this because I had my MoviePass card, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna jump on this before they realize what a stupid plan they just made.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, I got it, and I was just like, I think the idea of it was cool, but I think what they didn't realize is the nature of movie watching. You know what I'm saying? The reason it's changed drastically is because the price has changed drastically. People don't go to the movies not because they don't want to go to the movies. They don't go to the movies because it's expensive. You know what I'm saying? So if you offer them basically a free movie ticket, I'll pay $40 a month for my entire family of four, me, the wife, and the kids, and we can all go and see the movies whenever we want, once a day. And it's like, at that point, it saves money, like, on the grand scheme of things. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if they really grasped the idea of what they were doing. I don't think they really watched the market as well enough as they could have. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the movie theaters, they don't make much money. They don't make much money at all. They make their monies off of concession. You know what I'm saying? So when you go buy snacks through them, you pay like $50 for some pretzels and some cheese dip and some Twizzlers and maybe a small sippy cup of a drink. And it's just like, that's where they're making the bulk of their money. Ticket sales aren't really bringing any money in, but like the ticket prices are going up. And now that they can charge a premium because they're giving you comfortable seating, they're making up more money on the back end. But it's just like, people don't go because it's too expensive. It's like, if you tell them we can give you a movie for free, they're going to go take advantage of that. So,
yep. So the other one is Cinema with an S. So Cinema.
Okay.
Now, they only offer one movie per month, but they're now offering like group pricing. Like, you can get, for $8.99 a month, you can get one movie day for two people per month, total of two tickets per month.
Okay.
Then they have a family plan where you could get, for $25 a month, one movie day for five people per month. Five people on a normal movie, like if you go take five people to go see an IMAX movie, It's going to cost you $100. This is saying $25, one movie day for five people per month, or $45, two movie days for five people per month. Those are pretty good prices, considering what it would normally cost you. So,
and now, all you get is a movie a month, and that's all you really need.
Yeah, that's what most people are going to do anyway. Most people are going to go two or three movies a month. Like, maybe you and I would, but it depends on what's coming out.
Right.
You know? But it's like that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. And you gotta keep an eye on the patterns of people. If you see that families are only going to the movies maybe once a month, then you offer a deal that gives them one movie a month. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't survey everybody and say, oh, well, they only go to movies one time a month. Well, if you could see a movie every day for free, would you go every day? Oh, yeah, I would go every day. I would pay for that. You know what I'm saying? Well, then you have to pay a premium for that. You know what I'm saying? Don't charge them how much it would cost to go see a matinee and have them go see a movie a month. Because I know I personally abused the mess out of that. I'm sure a lot of the policies that they implemented was because of me.
Probably. You're part of the issue, yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yo, I started. So basically, when I started with the plan, I was able to get my movie tickets from work. And then go from work to the movie theater right after work. So they made it so, no, you can't do that. Now you have to actually be at the theater, check in, and get your ticket. So they changed that immediately. So, I mean, when Black Panther came out, I saw that movie every day. Every day.
here's the AMC Stubbs A-list one, which is, this would have to be the winner, right? So
yeah.
$20 per month. Subscribers can watch three movies per week with the membership or blow their entire three movie allotment in one day with a 2-hour buffer between each viewing. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Repeat viewings are allowed and your movie allowance resets every Friday morning. They do require a 3-month minimum commitment, but instead of restricting you to standard 2D movies like MoviePass, AMC's its subscription will let you watch films in most formats including IMAX, Dolby Cinema, and something called Big D that I've never heard of.
Yeah, I've never heard of that one.
Shows from Fathom events and special fan events aren't included, which is fine, because those are out of the ordinaries. But you'll be able to reserve seats for up to three movies at a time, either on the web or using AMC's app. This addresses one of the biggest gripes about using MoviePass and its inconvenient ticket acquisition procedure, which requires you to be within 100 yards of your chosen theater to purchase a movie ticket.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to any three theaters you want with AMC, and it's $20 a month.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Like, that's it right there. That's it. Oh,
I may actually sign up for this myself.
I'm saying. I'm about to hit that unsubscribe on MoviePass. I'm sorry, y'all. What you want me to do?
That's impressive. Like, that's really... I can't imagine that sticks around either, because that's going to end up costing the money, you would think, but maybe not.
Yeah, I think where AMC wins is the limitation of how many showings a week. You know what I'm saying? 7 days, seven films out of the week is different from three films out of the week. You know what I'm saying? Right. And you break it down, a movie ticket costs what? Like $12, $13?
Depends on what you do. Like, for me, nine times out of ten, I'm going to IMAX and I'm going to see the new movie. So that's costing me between 20 and 22 every time. But IMAX 3D can be almost 24.
Okay. So you're talking about three for the price of one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's granted you actually go to the movies and see these films that you're trying to see. You know,
so
what I'm
the
saying?
60 plus that I spent to go see Infinity War three times in the theater, mm-hmm, could have only cost me $60 for 3 months, and I could have seen it three times a week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would have been nice. Because I would have done that. I would.
Yeah. You know.
So. Yeah. Just reading that, even the other one, the cinema, between those two, I can't see MoviePass is going to last.
Yeah. I can't see MoviePass is going to last, and I'm honestly going to go ahead and call this now. The AMC one is going to amend quite quickly. I think three might be too much. I think they might lower it to two. If they're nice, one if they're smart.
Yeah. But it'll still be, you know, once a week. Once a month, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, once a week is pretty good, you know what I'm saying? Because if you're saying 20 a month, you still, you know, you're still making out pretty good. You're still making out pretty good.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see how these go, but I definitely think MoviePass is on its way out.
What I would guess AMC is planning on, is banking on, is all the people who are going to sign up for it and not use it, because you have to sign up for 3 months at a time. So you're instantly spending $60 no matter what.
Right.
So, you know, if, you know, 100 people sign up for it and then just don't use it, you know, they're making money back that way because it's not costing them anything.
Yep.
So, yeah. Pretty smart.
Yeah, it's smart. Now, if they got some discounts on their little concession stands, oh, now we talking.
Now they're going to lose a lot of money on the ball.
Yeah. Oh, man. But one thing you can use your A-list for, your A-list membership for, is this new Marvel Studios 10 Film Festival. So their 10-year anniversary, they're going to re-release all the films that have been out for Marvel Studios. And it's only going to be IMAX, right?
Crazy. I think so.
Yeah, it's bananas. So it's
the 10th anniversary, they're going to re-release every single film and show them, I believe, in chronological order. I couldn't sit that long. There's no possible way I could sit that long. I don't know if that's the plan necessarily or not, but it's a film festival, so I imagine it has to be something close to that.
I don't think it's going to be like you can see them one after another in the same day. I think it might be something where 1 week will be these movies, next week will be these following movies. You know, and they'll do it in a sequence, because or they'll do it like one a day, because it's normally like festivals do like movie releases like one a day. You get to see a showcase of new films that are coming out. So this will probably be in that same vein. So, yeah, man. But that's sweet. Like, I mean, if you haven't seen them, I mean, I own them all on 4K. So,
yeah, I have every single one of them so far. So
it's like I could do that festival at home.
Exactly. I can sit here and have no problem watching every single one all over again.
Yeah. It's like that's for the people who like the crowds, who want to do the cosplay, and really want to make it an event. So, you know.
Infinity War should be here tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah. Good buddy. Can't wait, man. It's definitely a heavy one.
I should have bought 2 copies because I'm going to burn out one in the first week.
This is true. Oh man. Staying with the Marvel theme, we got Samuel L. Jackson and Kobe Smulders confirmed for Spider-Man Far From Home. So that's pretty good news, because I really thought Sam Jackson was done, but it looks like he might have renewed a contract.
I think he's being a little salty over not being in Black Panther. Kind of maybe push them to get him into something else.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why we have him at the end of Infinity War. Now we get him in Spider-Man Far From Home. And it makes sense to put the two of them in there, right? Because isn't the rumor like the main bad guy is going to be like an international assassin or something like that for Spider-Man Far From Home?
Yeah.
You know, and who better to try to help, you know, stop an international assassin with Spider-Man than Nick Fury and Maria Hill. So
yeah.
I think that makes perfect sense to have them in this movie. And I definitely look forward to it. I can't wait till the first time there's an interaction with Spider-Man and Nick Fury. Is going to be amazing.
Oh my gosh. Yo, no, Nick Fury is going to be, he's going to be so over Spider-Man. I could definitely see him being the grumpy caretaker of Spider-Man. Especially if you look at that animated series that they had, where basically Nick Fury is recruiting Spider-Man to be a part of the Avengers initiative, and he's getting trained with Nova, Luke Cage, who's like his incarnation in this one is like a younger kid, and then White Tiger. So he's like teamed up with all of them, and it's just like, you could tell, like, you could tell Nick Fury is kind of, like, at his wit's end with Spider-Man in most of the episodes, so.
Not really surprising.
But, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. That's going to be good, man.
I love the first one.
Yeah.
Look, I'm absolutely biased, and I admit it, because, you know, it's my favorite character, and I was dying for a proper version, and, of course, we finally got one.
Yep.
So, you know, this will be me again being more biased waiting for the second one, because I just can't wait. I love the Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, Tom Holland he's a beast.
He's so good.
Yeah.
He's absolutely finally the right guy to be playing the role. He's good at both parts of it, so.
Yeah. Let's see. We got some game news. God of War, there's a new Game Plus mode that is finally launching on August 20th, so it's good enough reason for me to get back into it. It's not like I wasn't playing it before. I was playing it through on Give Me God of War mode, which is the hardest mode that has ever been invented in gaming history. I need you guys to understand that.
You're a psychopath.
And I'm almost done. It's like, it pays off once you get the armor that you want and you leveled up enough. Then it becomes a little bit easier to handle. But, I mean, the bad guys are still a pain to deal with. Like, yo, this mode is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I remember when I started this mode, I caught myself trying to start this mode when I first got the game. My girl sat and watched me play this game for 20 minutes at the same point. This was the first, the introduction of bad guys in this game. I couldn't get past it. Two hits, dead.
Wow.
For 20 minutes. Until I was just like, okay, so we're going to go with the easy mode so I can know what's going on.
Meanwhile, I started with the easy mode because I just wanted to finish it. And it still took me twice as long to finish it as it took you.
I mean, I'm saying this game was... This was intense. I don't know if it was just a new fighting system or whatever the case was, but they outdid themselves with this one. This is not your granddaddy's God of War, I'll tell you that much.
Truth. That is the truth. I never did finish getting all the Valkyries.
Oh man, yo, that's a pain.
That's why I didn't finish it.
And it's like, you got to do them in a certain order, too, because some of them are harder than others.
And yeah, I found that out, too.
Yeah. It's about like, pattern watching, too. That's what I noticed about the fighting system in this game. It's about watching your enemies' patterns, adapting to those patterns, and then finding the weak points in those patterns. But it's just like, for the first five times, you have to be willing to just die, because you're going to die.
That is the truth.
Oh man.
And then you get really close and you lose anyway. And yep. Then you die right away five more times.
That's brutal. It's like, yeah, I'm almost there. And then you just do something that you know you shouldn't have done from the first five times that you die.
Yep.
Oh man. You can obviously see that we have PTSD with this game.
Inevitably after the one where you got a sliver of health and you still lose. You go in, you lose like three hits, and you're like, all right, that's just a mulligan. I just screwed up a little bit. You know, I got to just center again. I can do this. And then you proceed to curse at absolutely nobody for the next 20 minutes when you still keep dying.
Oh, all my rage is directed towards the kid. I'm like, yo, come on, man. Do something.
You know what? Excellent point, because I did the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, so look for that August 20th, man. Game Plus. You get to go back. Now you'll have all your armor and your level up. So it won't even matter. You just breeze through it. At least that's what they want you to think.
They'll probably
make like a Titan mode that'll be just like just as awful as this Give Me God of War mode.
Oh my lord. Yeah. I'm not even gonna try Give Me God of War mode. It's just not gonna happen.
Oh man. Yeah. So, yeah, there's that. So let's take a look at what's coming out this week. We got two movies of note. There's a couple of movies coming out, but for our purposes, we'll only discuss two of them. We got Alpha coming out, a story about the first man-dog relationship ever in history. I'm sure it's going to be a tearjerker. Cass is like kind of like some no names. I know the one kid that's the main star is he played Nightcrawler in X-Men Apocalypse. So it'll be interesting to see how he does in that role. And then we got a Mile 22 with Mikey Mark.
Mikey Mark.
And I don't know, man. I'm just I'll wait for this one.
Yeah, I don't really have a whole lot on either one of these. I mean, Alpha looks like it could actually be kind of interesting, but doesn't look like my kind of movie to begin with. So I'm not on that one. And Mile 22. I mean, it looks like it'll be a nice cheesy action flick, you know, that I'll check out at some point, I'm sure. But
anything
that's going to be a theater viewing for me personally.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be better than Skyscraper, though. God. Oof.
Yikes.
Yeah, so I got an opportunity to look at that one.
Oh, did you go see it?
And I didn't go to the theater. No. I didn't go to the theater. I got an opportunity to see it, though. Oh,
you acquired a copy. I acquired.
And, wow.
Bad? So, really bad?
Wow. Like, yo. What was he thinking? Like, I will punch my agent for this one. And I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I'm sure it was like some of the action moments are very thrilling, but they're not very believable. And after a certain point, you just got to understand. You got to just be like, okay, I'm going to chalk this up because there's an article floating out there. I don't know if you guys have ever read it, but it's called The Rock Cinematic Universe. And basically, it explains that every role that The Rock plays in is actually the same character. And basically what we're doing is we're watching the journey of a demigod as he tries to partake in various roles That's in awful. Human life.
That's so terrible.
It's good. I gotta put the link up. I'll put the link up on this blog post and you guys can check that out. But it is quite hilarious. It makes you
that
look
sounds
at
funny.
Every and it includes every film that The Rock has been in. Even the Tooth Fairy.
I was just gonna say
Tooth Fairy. It is in there. And they have thorough explanations to this character's journey through every film. So yeah. Take that.
Oh, poor Dwayne.
Oh man. Well, at least Ballers is out right now, so you can always wash your mouth out with that.
That's right. That's hilarious.
Yeah, man. So all right, let's take a break, and when we get back, we will dive into a nice little bonus level and talk about the Disney overlords.
I, for one, welcome the Disney over.
All right, let's take a break.
Do it.
Hey, what's up, Boss Fam? Big Boss here. And as much as the professor and I love giving you the geek news of the week every week and discussing all things geek culture, we'd be remiss if we didn't at least try to use our platform to do a little good in the world. That's why the professor and I, along with some of our friends, will be working together with ExtraLife.org to raise money for the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Extra Life unites thousands of gamers around the world to play games in support of their local Children's Miracle Network Hospital. And since its inception in 2008, Extra Life has raised more than $40 million for sick and injured kids. Extra Life is a 24-hour fundraising and gaming marathon to support these Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. And on game day, November 3rd of this year, the boss's desk will be joined by thousands of gamers and dedicate an entire day, 24 hours, to play games and get donations from friends like you. 100% of your donations go to our local hospital, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And together, we can make a difference for sick and injured kids. Your donation is 100% tax deductible and will make miracles happen for families who desperately need them. So go ahead, click the link down below, the donate button down at the bottom of our podcast page, and it'll take you to a webpage that'll allow you to make a safe and easy online donation to our cause. And now let's get back to the show. All right, folks, and we're back after the break. We're going to dive into a special bonus level for you. We're going to talk about the Oscar changes that are coming this year for the 2018 Oscars. Namely, this new category that's been created called the Best in Popular Film category. And come to find out, these changes were made and pressured onto the Academy by Disney and ABC. So I guess I could start things off, and then, you know, we'll just go into it after that.
Sure.
So these changes, like, basically what's happening is the Academy's introducing this new category. It's called Popular Film. So basically they're going to take all the blockbusters, the major box office winners from the year, and pick the best that are out of that. Basically what this does is this allows more of Disney's movies to get circulated, because when you really think about it, the blockbusters that are really killing the game right now are all Disney films. You got your Marvel Cinematic Universe, you got your Lucasfilm, Star Wars movies, and then you got your allotted assortment. You got your Christopher Robbins, Pirates of the Caribbean, things like that. And most of these movies that we're seeing that are killing box office numbers tend to be Disney movies. So my opinion with this, all right, so this is my problem with it. One, my problem with it is Disney, one, is becoming this big monster that, you know, we asked for all these things to come with Marvel. We asked for all these things to come with Marvel. They got all their characters, and now they have a little bit more power. So now they have a little bit more muscle. And it's just like, this is the price that we pay to have our childhood dreams come to fruition. We give this monster mouse more muscle for the buck. So it's just, it is what it is. I'm willing to take that. My problem is, my big problem is this category. This category, it leans more towards their movies. My problem with that is they don't believe in the movies that they've already created. And I feel like with the superhero genre, it's finally getting to a point where I feel like these stories are taken seriously by artists in the field. So now they're being taken seriously as legit pieces of filmmaking, legit forms of art. And that's where we wanted to go. Comics had its own way to get there too. You know what I'm saying? They had their own route. It took a little while for them to get there, but once they got there, you're talking about major graphic novels that have been created. You can list all the Frank Miller graphic novels that have been created, some of the better stories that have come out. Kevin Smith's written some of these great stories that have come out. Like, we've seen these stories. Now comics are respected as works of art now. You know what I'm saying? The superhero genre needed its time to get to that point too. Every genre has had to take its hits to get to where it needed to get to be recognized as a genre storytelling. I think the major strength of Marvel was when they stopped making superhero films and started making genre films that centered around superhero characters, super characters. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've gone through it. We've talked about it before. You can look at Iron Man as kind of like an action film, just a regular action drama film. You look at The Incredible Hulk as almost like a Western. You can look at Captain America, the First Avenger as a period piece, war drama, and so on and so forth. I mean, you get to, you know, the high fantasy of Thor, the geopolitical thriller of Black Panther, the spy thriller that is Winter Soldier. But we all say it on this cast a lot. Winter Soldier is really when the superhero genre like settled. That's when it was like, all right, this is something that can produce profound meaningful works of art. That's that. Now we could take these this genre seriously. You know what I'm saying?
It could be more than just a comic book movie,
right? You know what I'm saying? And now we had these latest. We had these latest iterations. We had Civil War. Black Panther. We had Avengers: Infinity War. Like just with these two latest entries, if you want to look at them, Black Panther and Infinity War. Are Oscar worthy. They don't need a genre created for, they don't need a category created for them. They could legit get noms this year without this new category. Whether or not they'll get the win, that's another story, but we're close. That's the point. Each year is supposed to be different. Each year is supposed to get us closer to the goal of winning the Oscar. I think with the villains that they introduced in Black Panther, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and Infinity War, you really have some characters that demonstrate depth, some stories that are very heavy and weighty, meaty, no wasted efforts, and it really turned out for the best with these stories. We've talked with friends, Professor, that like this is the year. This was the year that I really felt like we were going to get some noms. If nothing else, some noms, you know. But now it's like I feel like we're getting this just kind of like pity category so that the superhero films could win an Oscar this year ahead of the time that I feel like they could win. And instead of just being recognized as stories that can compete, you know what I'm saying? Right. So it's rough for me hearing this news because it's like now it's like when Disney is up to the point where now they can push and make you and make influence in certain areas and say, hey, look at this film because we told you to look at this film, instead of just believing in the work and just putting it out there. And it's like now we're going to get categories and wins that feel forced, if anything. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm going to play a little devil's advocate on this one.
All right.
Thinking about it a little bit. I don't disagree with you that the film should be able to stand on their own.
Yeah.
And that they should be able to be nominated. I personally think Infinity War should be nominated. You personally think Black Panther should be nominated. Obviously, not everybody's going to agree with this. Nobody's ever going to get universal agreement on things like that. But
right, right.
The other possibility, way to look at it, is that Disney is concerned that these movies do deserve that recognition, but they're not going to get them no matter how good they are because they're comic book movies, and that's how the industry looks at it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say it all you want that they deserve it, but if the industry's still going to look and go, it's just a comic book movie, then they're never going to really get that full respect that they deserve. So the concern for Disney is these movies absolutely deserve this, not this, I just had the word that ran into my head.
You want to say achievement?
Achievements, or it's not the word I was looking for, but that'll work. These movies deserve this achievement, this notoriety, I think is the word I was looking for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if they're not going to give it to us, we have to come up with a way for us to make sure that we get what we deserve. You look at a movie like Infinity War, made over $1 billion worldwide. It's one of the only, one of what, five movies of all time to do that, something like that.
Yeah.
And there's a very good possibility that it's not going to get nominated for anything because it's considered a superhero movie and a kids movie or something along those lines. To push for this kind of creation is another way of saying it deserves notoriety and this is how we're going to get it, whether they like it or not. Is it the best way to strong arm it? No.
Yeah.
Will it get it the notoriety it deserves? More than likely. You know what I mean? I find it hard to believe that if now they haven't released the stipulations for the most popular category, but it's going to have to be something about the money it makes or the tickets it sold, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody this year is going to beat Infinity War. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
Even with anything that's left in the, there's only a handful of big movies left for the year. None of them are going to come close. Venom is not going to make $1 billion worldwide. That's not going to happen. You know what I mean? What's the other big one that's still coming out this year?
Is Aquaman coming out this year?
Aquaman, thank you. Yeah. Aquaman's coming out this year. It's not going to make $1 billion worldwide. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So that's their way, again, not the best way because it's strong-arming, but that's their way to make sure the film gets what it deserves ultimately.
Yeah.
So I can kind of see doing that. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I think I kind of see the idea behind it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, ah, man, you know, like I think about Logan. Didn't Logan make it last year for screenwriting?
I don't remember. It might have.
Yeah, I feel like Logan got nominated at least for screenwriting. And that's a step in the right direction. It didn't win, but it's like, yo, it got nominated. Like, that's a big deal, you know? And it's just like, I feel like Disney's just trying to rush it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you take your time. It'll happen. It'll happen. Just keep perfecting your craft, and then it'll speak for itself. You know what I'm saying?
But I think what happens sometimes is they look at it and look at the Academy, look at people like Mel Gibson or Jodie Foster or even Jason Statham, who are big, big, big names in Hollywood, who have all gone on record and gone, these comic book movies, these are stupid.
Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, that opinion, you know, while you should never base your opinion on what somebody else has to say, those are actors that are going to influence people. You know, when Jodie Foster comes out and says, I would never do this because it's a comic book movie, why would I want to do that? There's people in the industry who are going to listen to her and go, you know what, she's right. Even though they've never bothered to watch a single one of these movies, they're just going to go by the word of Jodie Foster because it's Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
So that hurts the genre. It really does. You know, and it's a shame because it doesn't deserve it. You know, it has movies that are legitimate contenders. Not all of them are contenders, obviously. You know, we'll disagree on ones here and there.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of them are legitimate. Winter Soldier, a legitimate contender. Infinity War, a legitimate contender. You know, stuff like that. But they're, you know, up until now, really haven't gotten that press, that notoriety to get them there. So, you know, I have to admit, I'm not totally against, I'm against the way they did it, but I'm not totally against the idea of creating this award for anyone.
Right. Yeah, you know, and I had a conversation earlier with my girl, and this is like, it makes sense because, you know, there's this allows an opportunity for genres that wouldn't get recognized, you know, on a regular basis to get some recognition. You know, they had to create categories for, you know, for stunts, because for years stunts wasn't getting recognized.
Right.
Same thing with visual effects. Like, that was a category that had to be instituted because people needed to get recognized. Makeup, all that stuff. Like, and it's like, I do get it. It's like, does this take these films out of the running for other categories? That's going to ultimately be my question. Is once we come up to the Oscars, if these movies then get taken out of the running for best actor, best adapted screenplay, it's a push to say best film, but like best film, you know what I'm saying? But like visual effects, you know what I'm saying? Actors, what did they say? What's the other one? Supporting actors, you know what I'm saying? Because these are legit genres the legit categories that I feel like these Marvel movies could actually hold their own. And then you got DC movies in the works, whether or not, you know, we agree that they're going to be successful. But, you know, we legit have a Martin Scorsese directed comic book film that'll be coming out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's like, we got Martin Scorsese, we got Joaquin Phoenix. Like, these are all Oscar nominated winning actors or actors and directors. And it's like, yo, like, so now this genre is being seen as having very palpable characters that can tell very heavy stories, intense, emotionally gripping stories that people will go to see, spend a lot of money on, but also go to see just for the storytelling. And it's like, I just kind of hope that, you know, years down the line, we won't have to worry about, oh, well, you know, they just, this category is just purely for Disney movies. It's going to be for other movies too, but like Marvel films are going to be stuff that we're going to see in other categories. So, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, we'll wait. We'll see what the worst night. what the category is going to mean, like what you have to have to win that category.
Yeah, what the criteria is going to be and all that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what that's going to be.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be anxious to see what that is, what that's about. Yeah, and see what we get this year. So, yeah, man. Well, let's geek out. Stressing out about Disney and all that stuff now. Chill out. We want to just geek out right now. So what are you geeking out about, Professor?
So there are a couple things that are floating around, but the one thing I'm gonna focus on today, just because it's the newest one for me, is the newest trailer for Red Dead Redemption 2, looks ridiculously phenomenal. The trailer looks like a movie.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like you're going to be part of a gang who kind of goes on heists and things like that. Obviously, there's going to be more to the story, I'm sure. But just what we see, like quick clips in the trailer of like four guys rolling into a bank to hold it up, and it just looks so, so good. I love the first one. Never played it online, but I love the first one. I love the story. Even the silly, you know, Red Dead Redemption Zombies pack that came out after the fact. You know, I love the story. It was one of the first ones I ever got into where, you know, like hunting down animals and collecting skins and meats to trade for things and to sell pelts and to, you know, make your own gear and stuff. Oh, it's such a good, the first one's such a good game, such a good story.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see what they're going to do with this one. I think it's like November or something this one comes out. So
yeah, man, it's coming soon.
Yeah, man. I'm going to have to buy it for my Xbox, unfortunately, because all my Xbox buddies are going to buy it to play co-op instead of the PlayStation.
Indeed.
So I'll definitely buy it for the Xbox. But yeah, man, that's the one I'm geeking out right now. I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, man. Oh, I can't wait for that game. That's going to be good. I am geeking out about another game. I'm geeking out about PlayStation 4's Spider-Man game.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
I'm with you on that.
That trailer just dropped with the Kingpin boss battle, and Kingpin looks amazing.
Yes, he does.
I cannot wait to see. If anything, this is just a preview of all the cameos that we are going to get in Spider-Man. I hear we're supposed to be getting some Daredevil in there, which is not to be unexpected. But I'm just looking forward to see who else is going to show up in this game that we recognize. But seeing Kingpin in all his glory, like, that was amazing. So,
well, the one trailer I saw did have a couple other characters in it.
Okay.
I don't know if I really want to spoil it. I kind of do. But
the trailer's out there.
It's out public knowledge. The trailer's out to public knowledge. So the one was a very cool looking scorpion.
Yeah.
The one was a pretty cool looking vulture. And the third was a pretty cool looking rhino.
Yeah, yeah, I saw the rhino.
So I'm guessing there's going to be a Sinister Six appearance in the game here somewhere, which would mean the addition of Doc Ock, the addition of Mysterio, which has potential to be a really awesome part of the game if they'd use Mysterio right.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes that six-member rotates around a little bit. Could be Kraven, could be the Goblin, you know, could be a couple different people. So I'm looking for Spider-Man, like we said before, always my favorite character. So I cannot wait for this one either. September 7th is the release day, same day as Iron Fist season 2, so it's going to be a busy day for the Professor.
Oh man, might have to take off.
Oh, I'll be working from home, so I'll essentially be taking off.
Yeah. Oh man. So yeah, that is pretty much everything we got. Any reviews? Did you see anything, Professor?
I haven't seen anything new. I did watch the super duper cut of Deadpool, which is fantastic. It adds maybe another 20, 25 minutes with different scenes that were cut out in the movie that are very, very funny.
Sweet.
Some very good stuff, especially in the beginning. There's a couple extra minutes at the beginning. That just add to the movie being hilarious. So definitely check that out when you get it. I think the digital release was out today or over the weekend.
Yeah.
And the Blu-ray release, I think, is next week. So, you know, definitely go check it out. It's good. It's worth the extra time they put into it. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to see what else did I see besides Skyscraper this weekend. Don't see that. Save your money. I don't know. I've been watching The Office. Been watching Attack on Titan season 2, which is still confusing as all get out, but that's okay because I know it's going to pay off. see anything new? Besides my anime releases, got Attack on Titan season 2. It's been good. I mean, the drawing is always top notch, and the action is ridiculous. The story is good when you can follow it. The story is good. It's like trying to figure out who did it. Like, basically, this is a big political thriller. I'm still trying to figure out who exactly is the bad guy, and why is it the system in this world exists. So that's always fun when you're watching a new show. My Hero Academia is solid. Not missing a beat there. They just introduced a new character that can shapeshift, so that's always good because you never know when the enemy's coming. So trying to see what else haven't been playing anything besides The Sims and Division. Nope. Call of Duty I've just been playing, so yeah.
I haven't played too much of that lately. I need to get in there for a time or two.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You're talking about Division?
Call of Duty, yeah. I need to play that Toy Soldier around at some point.
Oh, yeah. So I did play that over the weekend. I got to play some of that Toy Soldier around, and it is bananas, okay?
Nice.
So it's set up in a sandbox. You're either the green soldiers or you're the black soldiers. And the thing about it is they have, like, green and black, like, just standing soldiers within the map. I spent most of the time shooting these statues that I thought were bad guys. So there's that. but yeah, man, it's a good level. It's definitely a good level. There's some good sniping spots. There's some good rushing spots, you know. It's a good run. Yeah. So that is it. That's all I got on my list.
Yeah, that's all I got too.
All right, folks. So that is it for us here at the Boss's Desk. So if you're tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on all the various social media outlets. We're on Facebook, The Boss's Desk, Twitter, at The Boss's Desk, YouTube, The Boss's Desk as well. We also have this podcast up on both Google Play and on iTunes, so subscribe to this channel, and you'll get regular updates and new episodes. If you have any questions about anything you heard on the show or any news you want the bosses to talk about, send it to us via Twitter or email. Just tweet at The Boss's Desk or send us an email to questions@thebossesdesk.com with your questions, and just share what you learned, and you might hear it here on the Geek News of the Week. So that is it for me and the professor today, folks. We will catch you next week. Later.
That's it.